Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome to Indie Streak. I am Rachel Galvin, and as you know, I interview film industry professionals on this show. If you've missed any of the shows, you can go back and listen to the archives. Well, today, I'm interviewing director and producer Kel Thompson, who is making headway currently in TV and on the web. And I think we have him here. Let me check. Kel, are you there?
Hey, what's happening, Rachel?
Hey. Okay, we're going to dive right in. You're helping a lot of people by offering your production studio, America's Production Company, for rent. Why don't we start out talking about that, what you have to offer at your production studio and where it's located and everything that you have there. We'll talk about that first.
Okay, sure. The studio is located in Boca Raton. It's off of Glades and Dixie. We've got a white cycloramic wall, which is an infinity wall. It's HD. You know, size, it's built for a full, wide HD shot. We do fitness videos where people are throwing things over their heads, so it's got a lot of space. We've got a green screen cycloramic wall. It's also HD size. And a black wall. It's not cycloramic. It does have a seam from the wall to the floor, but it's a very large black wall. So the studio is very versatile. Somebody can come in and use, you know, the green screen, the white, and the black all in the same production. We've got lights available. Everything's a la carte. So you can come in with your own production crew. You can rent the studio for just $35 an hour. I usually do a two-hour minimum. Lights are available for $15 each. Photo strobes and video lights. We've got an area kit, four-light kit, and a couple other just studio lights. So we do photo, video, and I do live event production, too.
And you have a sound booth there, and you have editing equipment, right?
That's true, all true. We do have a Final Cut Pro and the Final Cut Studio, as well as a new sound booth that we just built. So we do a lot of corporate voiceover for the sound booth. And I do $35 an hour for that, too.
And do you have cameras for rent as well?
I do have HD cameras. I have two Sony EX1s. I rent them for $175 each for a day rental. That's comparable to somewhere like Midtown Video, who I believe rents them for about $350. And I'll usually throw in a memory card and, you know, a couple other accessories if you need them. And then I've got a still camera. I've got a 5D Mark II, and I usually do that for $75, which is about half of what, you know, you usually would rent a 5D for.
Mm-hmm. And you're making a lot of your own shows as well. And I know before we get into Showboat, because I want to go in detail about that, I wanted to ask you, I know you did a TV show about Intercoastal Waterway. What happened with that one? What was the challenge that you found with getting that one sold?
I'm sure. Your Intercoastal Waterway was a pilot that I put together about the Intercoastal. It was to cover the history, mystery, and industry of the Intracoastal Waterway starting in Miami, and we were going to travel up to Maine. Obviously, it's quite an undertaking, no matter how it would have been pursued. But basically what I did is I shot around South Florida. We went up to some restaurants. We, you know, I featured things in Miami and just different parts of Florida, and that's what made it into the eight-minute sizzle reel, which... you know, actually, I learned a lot from that, and it came close to getting picked up. I had an agent look at it. She critiqued it, had me redo it, and then it came into the state that you'll see it now if you go on to either Showboating, show-boating.com, or youricw.com, and it's the eight-minute pilot is on there. And it's a really well-done 8 minutes. But what I found was, you know, later I went to produce Showboating, and do you want me to launch into that or not?
Yeah, go ahead.
So Showboating was a very spontaneous production. And, you know, with your Intracoastal Waterway, I shot, like, hard drives full of media. It took me over the course of basically 2 years to get it all produced. And just to do that little pilot was a large undertaking. Now, what I learned was to try and simplify my efforts. With Showboating, I basically, the weekend of the Palm Beach International Boat Show, my wife said, you know, you should go do something over there. I was starting to do a video, you know, a video blog, and I still was kind of in the boating niche from your Intracoastal Waterway. So she said, you know, you can go down there and try and produce something. And I said, well, what am I going to produce? It was like that. And I said, well, you know, what I could do is put together some flyers and go over there and pass them out and just see if I can find any boat owners, because the Palm Beach International Boat Show is all, you know, very well-to-do boats and owners, and they're trying to sell their boats. And so I figured I would put together a pilot interviewing the boat owners about, you know, their boats that they have for sale. So it kind of created a win-win situation. It was a much simpler concept. We could execute it very quickly. It had a high level of interest in that the boats ranged from $300,000, an Italian boat starting at $300,000 all the way up to a $36 million mega yacht. And basically went over there on a Saturday afternoon, the last hour of the show. My wife and kids went with me, and I passed out flyers that I produced that day with my kids running around. You know, I put together a template out of Microsoft Word, and I said, you know, I'm producing a pilot for the Travel Channel or the like. And if you're interested in being part of the pilot, I'd like to come interview you. I'll be back tomorrow all day. Please call me or text me. And I left all the information. And I made it a fun flyer. It looked very professional. That was largely thanks to Microsoft Word and the templates available there. And so I went over and I passed them out. And I got calls, you know, right away. And some people said, yeah, just come by tomorrow. I'll be here. So I went over there. I like to say I crashed the boat show because we didn't have any permission from the company show management who produces the boat show. But they were very open to having media be able to come in, and you know, they want coverage. You know, they would like to have any kind of coverage or media, you know, possible.
Yeah.
But it, you know, I still didn't have permission to do it. But I went and I shot the interviews. I got a couple of my guys together, Jim Rockledge and AJ Shore, who you probably know. And they helped me run cameras, and we did a multiple camera shoot. I think it was a 2-camera shoot on that day. And then we shot it. We did the I was on camera, and I'm on camera host by default. I enjoy it. I like to be on camera, but it's also just a simpler way that I don't have to have a host come along with me and coordinate. You know, when it comes down to it, you're dealing with everybody's schedules. And you're not, you know, like all independent producers, we're doing things on a very tight budget. So the fewer people that you can have involved and still pull off less quality production, then the better off you're going to be. So we got it edited, and then shortly thereafter, by the time we were wrapping up editing and I should say that I sent it over to show management, who, like I said, produces that boat show, the Palm Beach International Boat Show.
Right.
And they were impressed enough that they came out and met with me at my studio, and they said, you know, we'd like to talk to you about some things we have going on. And then, you know, that basically led into the what they call the Suncoast Boat Show of downtown Sarasota, which is over in Sarasota, Florida. And that was the next one that was coming right up. So we popped over there and did another shoot with AJ, Jim, and Travis Palmer this time. And
okay.
And we pulled off another great production. We actually incorporated a jib and got some even, you know, a little bit of a higher production value. And then shortly thereafter, there was the Volvo Ocean Race that was coming through Miami. And, you know, each one of these, my wife was like, you know, you need to go do this. You need to go do this. You need to go out and do something there too. And I'm like, okay, well, what do I do? And so, you know, Brandy signed me up through the Volvo Ocean Race as a media professional. And the Volvo Ocean Race is a 9-month world tour with these mega yachts that are $6 million yachts, sailboats, and they race around the world. And so, anyway, she signed me up as a media professional using showboating as as my media credentials.
Right.
And they accepted it. It got me basically press privileges. And it was a pretty big deal. And I went down there. I got to interview the captains. I went out on the press boats. We got to watch the race. There was an import race, and then I actually got access to a lot of the footage that they had shot for the race. And I got to incorporate those shots, aerial shots, GoPro shots, you know, all these great high-value production shots, and some pieces that they had pre-edited, and I got to drop all those into my production. So those are pretty much the three episodes that I have of showboating.
And how did you sell it to Tuff TV?
Say it again?
How did you sell it to Tuff TV?
Well, that's, you know, that's what I was getting into, is that basically, you know, then once you get the three pieces done, then you think, okay, now what do I do, right? It's like, okay, uh-huh. Now how do we mark? You know, that's when the work starts. And so I started, you know, sending it out to people. I found a list of agents. Then actually a friend of mine from the Playhouse. I forget the name of it.
Actors Playhouse?
It was a referral to Tuff TV. And he said, you know, they wanted to pick up a pilot show of mine, I don't think it's going to work out, but I wanted to refer them to you. And so I had basically gone down a lot of avenues for trying to sell the project. And I had come close. I had the Travel Channel take a very close look at it. I had Discovery look at it. You know, and I didn't think necessarily it would be a great fit for those two. I was certainly hoping, you know, for the Travel Channel. But then Tuff TV, I had a look at it. They said, you know, this looks like a good fit for us. And basically I said, you know, let me know what we can do to make it happen. And it took a little while. You know, everyone's busy, but we got a contract and got it signed and we've got distribution. So now I'm re-editing the shows based on their specifications, basically I'm dropping a couple of my own advertisers in, and then I'm sending it over to them, and it's going to be on there in August. They've got a demographic area, I think they call it a DMA, demographic marketing area, of 35 million.
Right.
So it's about 25 cities and 35 million people, and they have access to it, but I don't know. That doesn't mean 35 million people are going to be watching it, unfortunately.
Right.
But it's a start.
Wow, that's great. And I know you've done a lot of different TV shows. You've worked on other people's shows. You've produced. You've acted a little bit. Any other shows that you want to bring up right now before we get into the Eggles?
I'd like to point out that it was Jesse Furman from the Jove Comedy Club up in Jupiter, Florida, that referred me to Tuff TV. I was drawing a blank.
Okay.
A little shout out. And you know, he's on Facebook, and he's got a great comedy pilot show geared around fishing that you can find if you find him on Facebook. I can't think of the name of it, but Jesse Furman. But, so other shows that I'm working on, is that what you were asking?
Yes.
I don't have anything that specifically comes to mind. I've always got, you know, projects that I'm developing, that I'm trying out. You know, it's, with the internet, you can get instant feedback, you can put stuff up, and, of course, people will be very brutal and honest with you and tell you exactly how they feel about your project, so...
how do people feel about the Eggles?
The Eggles is exactly that. It's something I'm trying. It's a political short comedy. And the thing about, you know, I just did like the American Black Film Festival. I've been doing that for four years. Reggie Ponder, and he's a real critic, and he takes me down there to be the official videographer for the festival. And one thing that, you know, there's a lot of filmmakers and independents that are exploring online distribution. And I was talking to one, you know, he was an award winner, a filmmaker, and I said, well, how many views, just so I have like a reference, how many views are you getting? Because, you know, you can go, an independent filmmaker or television producer or web producer can spend $1 million on a production and put it up on the web and get 200 views. Whereas, you know, the challenge is the cat that flushes the toilet gets 10 million views, right?
Right.
And so, you know, and that's the challenge. And so the Eggles is kind of an attempt to thread that gap. Like, it's not a lot of effort. I want it to be a high production value, but short, and something that, you know, that, you know, I think exploding political eggs has everything that YouTube needs. So that's basically
it's definitely
the idea. Yeah, it's very unique, and it's just supposed to be something where you know that, you know, that something's going to explode and you're going to get some sort of either political or celebrity-related message out of it, whatever's topical. So I've gotten really good feedback. One of my friends who's very critical and has very few compliments to throw out there said that that show could be done drunk and whatever else, and you should still make millions off of it. So, you know, I don't feel quite as strongly about it, but I think it's got some potential. It's fun,
okay.
Nothing else. But on the other hand, I will say that even the Eagles, something that looks so simple and silly, still takes a half day. You know, it's like by the time you get everything and you edit it and you upload it and you export it, and, you know, video production is, you know, producers are always, especially to corporate clients, we're always having to explain, the change takes, or the production takes, you know, a little bit of time, but the editing and the importing and the exporting and the whatever else, project creation or whatever, is what's really time-consuming. So the Eagles, aside from the fact that eggs exploding all of my studio didn't leave a very strong, you know, did leave a very strong smell. And so there's challenges even with something like the Eagles. That's my point.
Uh-huh. And you've done a little bit of everything, and you actually started out, one of your first gigs was as a helicopter videographer for the news. How did you get that gig originally?
Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
It wasn't
called. You had a camera and you said, hey, pick me.
That's basically it. I was coming down from one of my first entrepreneurial experiences, which was I created, how long are we going for here, Rachel? Do I need to?
We have about 15 minutes left. Well, 13
okay.
minutes.
Okay, gotcha. I didn't know if we were trying to.
So not much time.
An hour. No problem. Basically, I started a company called English Central, and they were products and services to bridge the communication gap between English speakers and Spanish speakers in restaurants in Texas and the South and really all across the United States. And I had some luck with it, but, of course, my bills exceeded my income, which happens to a lot of entrepreneurs. And, you know, you can be successful if all you need is a couple $100 a month profit, then that could be considered successful. But if you're trying to live off of your profits, then basically I was not that successful.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, basically I wanted to find something that aligned with my aptitudes. I was a photographer prior to that as well. And I have my degree is in advertising and my minor was in photography. But I studied at Brooks Institute and Rochester Institute of Technology. So they're considered respectively among themselves at least the best schools in the nation, if not the world, for photography. So I have a very strong background in photography. So basically I went to study after to get back on topic here. I had a photography background and I was needing to generate more income, I found a job online on monster.com. And it said, well, helicopter videographer needed for a new television station in Houston, Texas. I was living in Seabrook at the time, just south of Houston. And I called the poster immediately and said, you know, I'm calling about your ad. And he goes, well, that's amazing. I literally just put it up. And I said, well, take it down because that's my job. And we got to talk a little bit. And basically I drove up to Dallas where the parent company was. And interviewed and basically sold him on the fact that I had done like one video. I had very little video experience. And I sold him on, you know, the fact that I had a photography background and a lot of enthusiasm. And you know, there were apparently, quite a few other applicants, but I got the job. It didn't pay a lot, but I really wanted to go into production. It was $26,000. I guess I can disclose that now, but...
Yeah.
I think money's so fast.
It's not too bad.
It wasn't too bad, exactly. So, anyways, I got the job, and I did it for about a year. And it was a Time Warner BLO affiliate, News 24 Houston, and they were basically 24-hour coverage of the Houston metropolitan area. So it was interesting. It was fun at times. It was very sad at times. I guess that's just news. In general, the first story I covered was a suicide, which is just horrible. But I jumped off one of the tallest buildings in Houston. It's bringing me down. But anyways, moving on. So I did that for a year, and then I found a job with a company that I thought was just amazing. It's called Multi Image Group out of Boca Raton, Florida, right here where I am now. And it said projectionist. They wanted a projectionist and it said it would pay $70,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, how hard can projectionist, you know, how hard can that be?
Yeah.
Who can't set up a projector? Well, little did I know, they're talking about these huge projectors the size of cars that they double stack and you have to line up pixel for pixel. And anyways, again, I went and flew myself out there and interviewed with them, talked myself into the position, into a position, not the position, but a position. I was supposed to be some kind of project coordinator. And anyways, I landed basically in the warehouse. And that was pretty much where I started, you know, really learning the nuts and bolts of video production, of live
right.
event production, of lighting, of, you know, of pretty much all of production. And, you know, these live event production companies, I mean, they're doing concerts, but they're doing them for corporations like eBay. Whenever they have their meetings, and they come with 18-wheelers full of gear, full of, you know, all kinds of equipment and gear, and we unload it. We build it, make sure it works perfectly. We do the show, and then we load it back onto the trucks and send it either back to the warehouse or to the next show. And I did that for 2 years with Multi Image Group,
mm-hmm.
and still wasn't making the income that I really desired. And I just went on to be freelance after that, and then I
right.
freelance for all the yeah. major production companies in town in South Florida, and got loads of more experience. And then eventually started a studio, and go ahead. Yes,
and how do people contact you if they want to rent your studio? Where do they go if they want to rent
sure.
your studio?
Sure. The company name is America's Production Company.
Mm-hmm.
You can always Google that or just put America's with an S, productioncompany.com into your browser. And that'll head
okay.
you over there. 561-843-6941 is my number. And or Kel at americasproductioncompany.com. Of course, I'm on Facebook at /Kel D Thompson. Or Twitter's Kel Thompson 1. So I'm all over.
That's a lot of things. Okay. and you have your YouTube site, too. What is that? Throw that in there.
The YouTube is... Is that, well, I guess it's my login, right? 52 a new U, 52ANEWU, I think, is if you search
it's
it.
It's a little bit more complicated. Probably if they type in Kel Thompson, that will come up as well, or the Eggles. I think
there
that's
go.
How I found it originally.
So, you know, voting episodes at show-voting. I think I said that before, but show-voting.com.
Okay.
And, yeah,
and keep an eye out for it on Tough TV. In August.
Keep an eye out for on Tough TV. Yeah, hopefully it's in your area. It's not. It's patchy. You know, it's in Fort Lauderdale. It's in Miami. It's not up here in Boca. It's in cities like Austin and, you know, just different. It's in major metropolitan areas, but not all major areas. They're expanding. They're a young network and they're expanding. So.
Great. Well, thanks for being on the show today, Kel. Fast and curious.
Keep up the good work, Rachel.
Thank you, Kel. You too.
I
will talk to you soon, but I'll let you go off the show, but I will talk to you, I'm sure, very soon. Thanks, Kel.
Okay, perfect.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, well, that was Kel Thompson, and he gave you a whole list of ways to contact him there at the end, and if you missed that and you think, boy, darn, I missed that, you can go back and listen to the whole show again. It's going to be archived. As soon as it's finished, give it a few minutes, refresh your page, and it will be archived. And you can listen to the whole thing again because I know you want to listen to Kel over and over again because he's got some great information. And his studio is fantastic. He is a great guy, and he really goes out of his way to make sure he helps people in the industry. And like he said, he has all this equipment and green screens, et cetera, available in his studio, and it's conveniently located. It's right off, not that far from I-95 in Boca Raton on Glades. I'm trying to remember now. Glades and just off 2nd Street. It's actually on 11th, but if you know where 2nd Street is, it's kind of right there. It's almost to US 1. So it's in between US 1 and 95 on Glades Road. And it's a small studio, but boy, it packs a punch. There's a lot involved in that little space. So you definitely want to check that out, especially if you're up here north in the north area. Everything seems to be down in Miami, so it's nice to have some kind of production company like this up north, if you're up like I am in Boca area, to know that something like this is available is fantastic. In addition, like you said, check out his show, Showboating. I know he's got a great future ahead of him because he is just going gangbusters with these boating shows, and to get it distribution is just excellent. So you have to look out for Tuff TV, or you can go online and one of his many sites and you can get access to it. The show boating website that he gave you, you can check it out there as well. Give some great information about boats out there if you're a boating enthusiast. And it's great just to see his casual hosting style as well. And he's really developed himself. I've known him for quite a while, and it's great to see him doing so well. He does headshots as well in his studio, too. I'll point that out. But once again, I thank you for listening to the show today. And I just want to take a moment and say personally that my heart goes out to those affected by the tragedy in Colorado. Just a terrible thing with the Batman movie and the shooting. It's just terrible. So I just wanted to just throw that out there. And, of course, everybody in the film industry is thinking about this right now. But a lot of movie enthusiasts are still going to the movie theaters, and that's what I like to see. Don't let this stop you from enjoying the movies out there, because the film industry professionals put a lot of hard work and their heart and soul into it, and it would be awful for something like this to happen and for that to stop. So that being said, again, thank you for listening to the show. I want to mention once again that my show has been nominated for an award by Women in the Arts. It's been awarded a nomination for Best Show, and voting starts on Monday. And I think the voting is going to be on their website, which is womeninthearts.miami.blogspot.com. So womeninthearts.miami.blogspot.com. So check that site out and look for voting, and I'll be promoting it more here. Please, please, please vote for my show. I'm looking forward to this award show. It's going to be excellent. I'm very excited about it. In addition, like always, please go to my Facebook page, which is called Indie Streak, IndieStreak, just like the show here. And please like my page. I'm trying to get more likes, because the more likes I get, the more I'm going to post up, information about the industry, shows, events, castings, all kinds of fun stuff up there that is just going to be for that audience on Facebook. In addition, I also have my other website, as I always mention, which is independentstreak.ning.com. And that's a site where I have members on there. The membership is now closed, but you can go and you can communicate with all the film directors, et cetera, that are on there. It's a great way to network online. And I also have events and castings and stuff I put up there, reviews, interviews, et cetera. In addition, if you are new to the industry and you're looking to be an actor in the industry and you want to know the basics, please check out my book that I wrote called Basics of the Biz. It's now at a discounted rate on Amazon.com. It's just called Basics of the Biz. You can look that up by me, Rachel Galvin. And I talk about everything from headshots, resumes, classes, unions, et cetera. And it's a great way to kind of get your foot in the water and test things out, to find out those basics. Okay, well, guys, I'm running out of time here, and I do thank you, and I always say same bat channel, same bat time. Next week, 1 o'clock, as usual, on Sunday, I will be interviewing someone else. You never know who it will be, but just keep coming back to this channel, and you can find out who the next person will be. And again, I thank you for listening, and I will talk to you next week. All right, bye, guys.